Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Something special. We need to put ourselves into spaces where we're seeing God move, because we want Him to move in us too, don't we, church? And it's on this thought today that I am going to share with you about God moving in our lives. And I've got a scripture for you in John chapter 2 and verse 23. And as I read it out at the 9 a.m., I was like, this scripture's really been doing something in me. Maybe it's a little bit confronting for you, but I hope it's okay. Are you ready to extend some grace today? Are you ready to open your heart to what the Bible's going to say to you today? Because we're going to go to this scripture in John 2, verse 23. And it says that when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. So they're seeing the signs and they're believing in Jesus' name. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them. Because He knew all men and He had no need that anyone should testify of man, because He knew what was in man. Wow. Have you ever noticed that scripture before? Have you read that in John chapter 2? It's a bit of a confronting scripture, right? Because it confronts us about something that is possible for every person who chooses to follow Jesus. It confronts us with this idea that it is possible to believe in Jesus but keep Him at a distance. That it's possible to be a follower of Jesus, to come along and hear His teaching and see His signs and His miracles and all of those things, just like these people did that we read about in John 2, but yet keep Jesus at a distance. You see, John makes this extraordinary point about Jesus' interaction with these people who he also said believed in Jesus, but he says this about Jesus. He says Jesus did not commit Himself to them. And when we read that kind of word, that kind of passage, that kind of phrase, that should make us stop and pay attention. Because those people believed in Jesus. The Bible tells us they believed in Jesus. They were turning up whenever Jesus came to speak and to perform signs and miracles, but Jesus didn't entrust Himself to them. He didn't commit Himself to them. When I was reading this passage in different versions, I came across in one Bible, it had titled this passage of Scripture as Jesus, the Discerner of Hearts. And I think that's an accurate description of what's happening here. You see, Jesus was not just simply looking at these people and what they were saying. He was looking below the surface. He was looking at their hearts and He knew what was in them. He knew whether their faith was deep or just superficial. He knew whether they were genuinely surrendering their lives to Him or they were just fascinated with the things that He could do or the things that He would say. And because He knew their hearts, He chose not to entrust Himself to them. When you read what commentators say about this passage of Scripture, they talk about this phrase that that Jesus did not commit Himself to them. They say this, they say that Jesus did not bring these people into close fellowship with Him because He did not have confidence in the sincerity of their faith. In other words, He didn't have faith in their faith. He didn't have faith in their faith. Why? Because their belief had not moved below the surface. Their belief had not moved below the surface. They were interested in Jesus. They were amazed by Jesus. They were watching Jesus, but they were not allowing Jesus to shape their life. They were not allowing what Jesus was doing and saying and bringing to start to impact them on the inside. And I think this passage asks every single one of us an important question. And this is it. Is my relationship with Jesus changing me? Is my relationship with Jesus changing me? Because you see, Jesus desires more than just a superficial relationship. He doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants you to know him. He doesn't just want you to hear his word. He wants his word to reshape the way you think. He doesn't just want you to experience his presence on a Sunday. He wants his presence to transform the way that you live on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. He doesn't just want to give you moments with him. He wants those moments to transform something in you so that when you move away from that moment, you move away from it different to how you went in. And the reason he wants to do that in you is so that you will start winning those internal battles that you, or every single one of us have. Those internal battles that we have where we're wrestling against anger, where we're wrestling against fear or insecurity or lust or anxiety, that we're wrestling against those things, and he wants to see us start to win those battles. And he wants to bring some things in place of those things where you would start to see the character of Christ formed in you. So you no longer live from a foundation of anxiety, but now you live from a foundation of peace. Where you no longer live from a foundation of depression and heaviness, but you now live from a foundation of joy. Where you don't live from a place of disappointment, but now you live from a place of hope. Or you no longer live from selfishness, but now you live with a love for God and others, where you live with patience and kindness and self-control. And you start to see the work of God being manifest in your life. This is Jesus' heart for you. His heart is not that you would have a surface level, superficial relationship where you just tap in and out of church on Sunday, or you just tap in and out of that interaction with that person at Connect Group, but you actually allow the work of God to go deep in your heart to bring you freedom and to outwork his plan and purpose for your life. That you actually allow Jesus to do something on the inside of you and begin to change you. You see, this is what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for followers who are willing to be shaped by him. He's looking for followers who are willing to be shaped by him. And this is one of the reasons that the gospel record is so significant, so meaningful to us today. Because while Jesus would not entrust himself to these people that we read about in John 2, he did entrust himself to some other people. He entrusted himself to his disciples. He allowed them to come into close relationship, didn't he? He pulled them in close. He pulled them in near. And when you look at the people that Jesus chose to do that with, we find hope. Come on, we find hope, we find inspiration, because you realize Jesus didn't just choose to commit himself to the most polished people, to the most impressive people, to the most popular people. He didn't go looking for the people who had it all together. He chose rough fishermen. Come on. He chose a despised tax collector. He chose people who doubted, people who were impulsive, people who were hot-tempered, people who had complicated histories, people who would get it wrong again and again and again. But there was something about those people. They were willing to be shaped. They were willing to be taught. Come on, we read about it in Scripture. They came to Jesus, teach us how to pray. When was the last time we asked Jesus to teach us something? Come on, we need to be these kinds of people. These were people who were willing to let Jesus get beneath the surface of their lives and do a work in them, to shape them and to transform them. You know, when we read about this, we think about this idea of being shaped by Jesus, sometimes it can feel a little challenging. But Scripture actually paints this incredible picture of what it looks like to be shaped by Jesus. In Scripture, it gives us this picture of the potter and the clay. And in Isaiah 64:8, we read Isaiah saying this. He says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. We're all formed by your hand. And you see, maybe you're sitting here today and you're hearing me talk about being shaped by God and you're thinking, you know what, Mel, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm done. I don't need any more shaping. I'm all good. Thank you very much. Or maybe you're sitting here today and you think you're all right, but you know, gee, that person next to you, they could do with some shaping. And you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's you here today. But what did you notice about this passage of Scripture that Isaiah doesn't say God is the potter and we are the finished product? He doesn't say that, right? He says God is the potter and we are the clay. Clay is not a finished product. Clay is in process. Clay is being molded and shaped and formed. Clay is soft and malleable in the potter's hand. And clay is not finished. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 4 minutes or 40 years, he's never finished with you. He's never finished with you. Praise Jesus. As long as you are still breathing, he's still doing a work in you to shape you and to mold you. He never, ever stops until you breathe your last breath. He's going to be shaping you. He's going to be molding you. You've never been a Christian long enough for him to be finished with you. And this is the posture that God is looking for us, looking for in all of us, not just the new Christians, not just that person sitting beside you, but all of us, that we would be people who are willing to place ourselves in God's hands with the desire for him to teach us, to correct us, to stretch us, to change us, to mold us, and to shape us. That we would be the kind of people that are willing to come to God with our lives and say, God, come and shape me. Come and shape me. And so today I want to speak to you on this idea of being shaped. I want to ask you the question, are you shapeable? Are you shapeable today? Are you somebody who's willing to be shaped by God? And this is a worthwhile question to consider, because the way that you answer that question will determine whether or not your faith in God transforms you. And that is actually why this matters so much to us as a church. Here at Nations Church, we say the best you is a whole you. And we say that because we believe that God didn't just save you so you could just get through life. He saved you so you could become whole. That he wants to reshape the places of your life that have been shaped by other things. That maybe have been shaped by pain or disappointment or fear or shame or guilt or rejection. Because you see, God doesn't simply desire for you to get to heaven one day, but his desire is to transform you right here, right now, from the inside out. And so what do we mean when we say that he wants to make us whole? What do we mean when we use this word wholeness? Well, I'm really glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. When we are whole, this means that we are living in the fullness of our identity in Christ. And this is why, as a church, we are committed to wholeness. In fact, we say this, we say we are about wholeness, that we are committed to pursuing personal growth, wholeness, and seeing Christ transform us from the inside out. Because you see, the opposite of wholeness is brokenness. The opposite of wholeness is brokenness. And when we talk about brokenness, that's where we're talking about those places in our lives where pain has shaped us in unhealthy ways. Every one of us here today, every single one of us have been shaped by something. Some of us have been shaped by bad experience. Some of us have been shaped by rejection, some by fear, some by shame, some by grief, some by trauma, some by things that were said to us, some by things that were done to us. We're all like the rest of us, right? Even the strongest, most capable person in the room will carry places of emotional vulnerability that needs God's restoration. And if we don't allow God to shape us, other things are going to shape us. Other people's words, other people's actions are going to shape us. Our wounds will shape us. Our disappointments will shape us. Our insecurities will shape us. Our rejection, our fears, our grief, our trauma, all of those things will be the things that shape us. And we'll find ourselves living from these patterns of unhealthy behavior and misconceptions about our identity and God's love for us. And so that is why being shapeable matters. Come on, that's why being shapeable matters, because God wants to shape you into wholeness. God wants to take you from brokenness and bring you into a place of wholeness. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring you to a place where those things no longer have control over your life and dictate your future and your responses and your relationships and all of those things. He wants to bring you into wholeness. He wants to bring you there today. And today, before we come to the end of this message, I just wanted to encourage you today that when we do come to the end of this message this morning, that there's an opportunity for you to step into greater wholeness. That there's an opportunity for you to step into that. But what so often happens when we get to those points of the service is we resist or we avoid. And can I invite you today, don't let today be the day that you do that. Don't let today be the day that you walk out into the breakout area and you say to myself or one of the team, you know what, God was really speaking to me about that, but I didn't respond. Don't let today be the day. Let today be the day that you step into freedom. Let today be the day that you allow God to do some shaping in your life, to mold you and shape you into wholeness. That's his heart for you today. And so before we come to that part of the service, I'm going to go after though a couple of the things that stop us from responding, that stop us from being shaped, that stop us from entering into the fullness that God has for us in that area of wholeness. And one of them is this: avoiding. Can we say that out loud? Avoiding. Avoiding is one of those things that we do that prevents us from entering into wholeness. And I want to bring you to an example in Scripture where we see Peter avoiding or wanting to avoid going deeper with Jesus. Okay, and I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 5. And this is a really well-known account in Scripture. It's where Jesus comes and meets, for the first time, Simon Peter and other fishermen who are on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They'd been fishing all night. They'd caught nothing. They're starting to pack up their boats. And Jesus comes along and says, put your boat out to sea. And this is what happens in Luke 5, verse 5. Simon Peter answers Jesus and says, teacher, we've worked hard all night, we've caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll lower the nets. So after the men had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And so their partners came and helped them. And what's the next part? I've lost it. When Simon Peter saw this, he knelt in front of Jesus and said, leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful person. Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful person. They threw their nets in and they pulled in such an incredible haul that they couldn't contain it in their boat. They had to go and send for another boat to come and help them. And then Simon Peter responds like this, leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful person. Why does Peter say that? Would that be how you would respond if you just encountered an incredible miracle from God? Would you not say, Jesus, do it again. Let's go out and fish for some more. Let's get some more boats. Let's get some more nets. Let's go and catch some more fish. But that's not how Peter responds. He says this. He says, Jesus, get away from me. Leave me. He wants to avoid whatever's going to happen next. He's like, Jesus, just leave me alone. I'm sinful. I'm broken. I'm no good. And what I want to suggest to you today is that Simon Peter was experiencing something we all experience in our relationship with Jesus. That as we encounter him and who he is and this perfect, astounding God who loves us unconditionally, we suddenly become acutely aware of our brokenness. We become acutely aware of the fact that there are things ruling our lives that should not be ruling them, that we're living with hurt, we're living with offense, we're living with disappointment, that our relationships are not in a good place, and all of those sorts of things that have shaped us to make us broken and messed up in so many ways, all of those things start to be exposed. It's like suddenly all your vulnerabilities are out in the open. Has anybody experienced that before? And so we understand this response from Peter, right? We can sympathize with that response because we've all been there where we've had an encounter with God and suddenly we realize that there is brokenness in us, that there's brokenness. And so often we want to respond the way Peter responded. We want to say, Jesus, leave me alone. Jesus, don't go there. Don't make me deal with that because it's too hard. Because it's too painful, it's too sad, it's too confronting. I don't want to unlock that thing that I've hidden away in my life. And so we understand that response, but that kind of response will never bring you into the fullness of life, the freedom, the joy, and the more that God has for you. You see, the reality and the impact of your brokenness does not disappear because you deny its existence. The reality and the impact of your brokenness will not disappear because you're choosing to avoid it. It won't disappear any more than, you know, taking all the junk from your house and putting it in your back shed and locking the door on it will make all that junk disappear. It doesn't work that way, right? It's still there. It will still have an impact. It'll still have an influence on your future and your relationships and your family and all of those kinds of things. We cannot continue avoiding going deeper with God. We need to be the kind of people who are willing to front up. And when God starts to put his finger on those areas of our lives and say, Jesus, yes, I'm going to yield this to you. I'm going to allow you to do the work that you desire to do in me. Because you see, while none of us are perfect here today, every single one of us is called to be shaped by God. Every single one of us is called to live a life of freedom and a life of wholeness. This is what the Bible says about Jesus and how he responds to our brokenness. It says in John 3:17 that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this word save is the Greek word sozo, which means that he was sent into this world to sozo us, to heal us, and to make us whole. It's talking about salvation, but it's also talking about the ongoing healing and restoration to wholeness that takes place in a life that is willing to be shaped by Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't come into your life to condemn you. He comes to sozo you. He comes to save you and restore you. And if that's the case, every time he reveals his brokenness to you, then that is the motivation. He's not doing that to condemn you. He's doing it to restore you. He's revealing your brokenness in your life because he wants to restore you to wholeness. He wants to deal with that fear and that insecurity and that anxiety and bring you to a place of greater wholeness. You see, if Jesus reveals to restore, then every revealing of your brokenness by God is an invitation to take another step towards wholeness. The revealing of your brokenness is not an indication that you should avoid him. It's not an indication that you should back away from God. It's not even an indication that you shouldn't be in church. Who's ever said that before where they've gone, oh, I'm a bit too broken or this is a bit too confronting, so I'm not going to go to church on Sunday. I'm not going to go to Connect in the fortnight. But that's not how God is desiring to do a work in your life. He's actually calling you to come from the superficial, surface level relationship and allow yourself to be transformed and shaped and changed by Him. When you choose to acknowledge your brokenness before God, then you allow Him to shape you. That is you allowing Him to shape you. That is Him allowing you to allowing Him to set you free from fear. When you choose to acknowledge your insecurity before God, then you're allowing Him to shape that area of your life. When you choose to acknowledge that relational issue before God, then you're choosing to allow Him to begin to shape that area of your life. But as long as you keep it locked away, as long as you choose to avoid, then you are choosing not to allow Him to shape you. You're choosing not to enter into the desire that God has for your life. So we want to be the kind of people today who are willing to go there, yeah? We want to be the kind of people today who are willing to go deeper and to not avoid, but rather allow God to do a deep work in our lives. So one of the ways that can be unhelpful for us when we approach wholeness is that we would avoid going deep with God. And the other one is this, is that we would resist. One of the other ways is that we can tend to resist allowing God to go deeper in our lives. One of the prime examples of people who resisted God are the Israelites. If you've ever read your Old Testament, you'll see again and again God correcting them because they were so resistant to what He wanted to do in their lives. And we laugh at it, we kind of roll our eyes at them, but to be honest, that's us, right? It's a picture of us. Resistance is so such an easy space, for an easy response for us to bring when God desires to shape us and to mold us. In Psalm 95, the psalmist speaks directly to this whole idea of how the Israelites resisted God. He's speaking to them and he says this, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me." You see, God's speaking here through the psalmist to the Israelite people about their hardness of heart. This word hardness, it means to be resistant. It means to be stubborn. It means to be unyielding to God. The Israelites had hardened their hearts because they chose not to trust. They chose not to surrender their lives to God. They had lived under slavery for generations, and this had taken its toll on their ability to trust, and so they preferred to follow their own way. They preferred to ignore God's direction and just do whatever they wanted to do until it got them into trouble, and then they would turn back to God and ask Him to come and do a work in their lives. And we see as well Jesus referring to this kind of unshapeableness in people in the parable of the sower. So as the band joins me, let's go to that parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and verse 3. It says here, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." We read this parable about the sower, and it goes on to say that the sower sowed seeds in all different kinds of soil, but we're only going to look at this very first example. And it's talking about a place called the wayside. That seed was thrown on the wayside. And when the seed was thrown on the wayside, it didn't take root, didn't grow. Nothing happened to it until it just sat there long enough that the birds came and snatched it away. And can I suggest to you today that sometimes our hearts can be a bit like the wayside. That our hearts can be resistant and hard and stubborn, where God is trying to do a work in our lives, but we become so hardened or resistant to God that He's not able to do anything that will bear fruit. Because you see, this wayside was a path that went around the field. And it was a path where all the people walked. It was a path where the animals walked. And because of what it was subjected to, the ground on that path became very hard. It became unyielding. Nothing could grow there. Nothing could be productive there. And that can be what happens to our lives. Sometimes when we've been through difficult seasons, when we've been through hard times and people have let us down, things have not gone how we planned, what we can find is our hearts become hardened, that we become resistant to any intention of God to try and shape us and try and mold us. And you know what? I remember being there too. I remember coming into church services just like this one with all these cynical thoughts going through my head. I didn't have my arms folded, but my heart certainly did. I was resistant to what God was trying to do in my life. I've been through some hard times. I've been through some difficult seasons, and I wasn't willing to let God do anything in me. I didn't want anyone to pray for me. I didn't want anyone to come and encourage me and talk to me. I wanted to keep my distance. I just wanted to tap in and tap out. And I didn't want to let God go beyond what was surface, what was superficial. Because my heart was like the wayside. My heart was rebellious. My heart was not wanting to allow God to go deeper. And it wasn't until I allowed myself to come to a point where I repented of that heart, where I was willing to let the walls come down, where I was willing to say, God, I'm sorry for resisting you. I'm sorry for holding you at a distance. And I start to make a decision to trust in God. I started to make a decision to acknowledge Him. Many of us would know that scripture from Proverbs that says we are to trust in God with all our heart and in all our ways acknowledge Him. Not many of us would say that we're in a good relationship with somebody else if we only gave that person 20% of our heart or 50% of our heart. You see, that's not what God wants. He wants all of our heart. He wants everything. He wants us to be the kind of people who are willing to yield to His shaping hand to mold us, to shape us, to not have any resistance, but be like clay in His hands that says to God, God, you can come and do what you want in my life. God, you can come and point out whatever brokenness you desire. You can come and bring me on a journey of healing that we would be the kind of people who say to God, come and shape me, come and mold me. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I'm probably a little bit too far gone for that. If you're sitting here today and when you look at your life, it's been misshaped. It's been formed by bad experiences and things that have happened, things that have been done where you look at your life and you know that you're living from a place of pain, you're living from a place of trauma or whatever it might be, then I want to encourage you with this scripture today. This is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. It says that God came to Jeremiah to show him about what God desired to do with His people. You see, His people had gone astray. The Israelite people, they were being shaped by all kinds of other things. They were following other religions. They were following other ways. They had turned their hearts away from God. They were allowing themselves to be shaped, but not by Him. And God gives Jeremiah this picture to show Jeremiah, and I believe to show you today, what He desires to do in your life if you found yourself being shaped by something else. It says this, Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's shop and that God would speak to him there. And so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's shop, just like God told him, and he found the potter there working on his wheel. But the jar the potter was making, it didn't turn out how he hoped it would. And so the potter took the lump of clay, took the clay, the pot, and because it was still soft, he was able to crush it in his hands into a lump of clay again, and then he started over. Aren't you grateful that God can start us over? God can start us over. And then the Lord gives Jeremiah this message, O Israel. And you know what you could do? You could put your name in there. You could say, O Mel, can I not do in you? Can I not do to you as this potter's done to this clay? As this clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Can he not reshape you? Can he not remake you? Can he not take the parts of your life that have been shaped by other things and start to shape you into his way and start to shape you into his purpose and start to shape you into wholeness and freedom and peace and joy? Can he not? Can he not do that in your life? Can he not? I believe he can. Do you believe he can? Yeah, he can do that in your life. He can do that in your life today. I'm so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God that he does that work in me. And I'm so grateful to God that he does that in the community of faith.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.